Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Alhamdulillahi أضعاف ما حمده جميع خلقه كما يحبه ويرضاه سبحان الله وبحمده عدل خلقه ورضا نفسه وزينة عرشه ومداد كلماته اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القران الحكيم ربنا زدنا علما اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم زيننا بزينه الايمان واجعلنا هداه مهتدين اللهم آت أنفسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها أما بعد Shutting the eyes in Salah Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said The beginner is permitted either to keep his eyes open or shut when he offers Salat Often The biliary and melancholic and sad persons are disturbed by restrictions. When they are melancholic and sad, you can't put too much restrictions on them. Particularly if they are weak. And weakness in anyone calls for minimizing restrictions, not maximizing them. The objective of the restrictions is had in the weakness itself and Fase Isa. Mufti Taqi Usmani Damat Barakatum says it is sunnah to offer the salat with open eyes. It is masnoon sunnah for one who offers salah that he should not shut his eyes but keep them open. However, the fuqaha, the jurists, have written that if anyone cannot achieve a humble attitude without closing the eyes, then he is allowed to shut his eyes. But the more excellent course is to keep the eyes open. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira did not shut his eyes but kept them open in salah. So the blessing lies in keeping eyes open. Whether one achieves the required humility or not, whether one is disturbed by thoughts or not, the reward for abiding by sunnah lies in keeping the eyes open in salah. The real thing is to abide by the sunnah, and there is light and noor in it, but not in other things. So keep eyes open when offering salah. The example of Shaykh al-Hind, Maulana Mahmud al-Hassan, Rahmatullah alayhi, offered the two rakats of Nafil Salat after witr in a sitting posture. Though the jurists, the fuqaha, have clearly stated that a full reward accrues to anyone who offers them in a standing posture and half sitting down. The same applies to the two rakats after witr. Someone asked the Shaykh al-Hind why he offered them sitting down. He said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported in many ahadith to have offered them while sitting, so he imitated him. As for the reward, even he confirmed that offering salat in a sitting posture fetched only half the reward for a standing posture, as stated by the jurists, the fuqaha, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he also said that too. But he said, his heart was more inclined to abide by the sunnah than to get more reward. So it has been the practice of our elders to abide by the sunnah and to keep eyes down during salat, even if they are not able to show a full humbleness. Nevertheless, it has the nur, the light, of abiding by the sunnah, which shutting the eyes lacks. This is the general principle. The case of the beginner, Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said of the new Muslim, who is a beginner, that if too many restrictions are applied on him, he might run away. What a great teacher he was. Hazrat says he must not be compelled to keep his eyes open when he offers salat. Don't compel him. So the Maulana said the beginner may offer salat with eyes open or shut. Many restrictions grow fear. He added, many biliaries and melancholics, sad, depressed people, they fear restrictions. Such people should not be subjected to too many restrictions, asking them to do this and not that, etc. That causes fear in them and they stop doing whatever they had been doing. This is more so if such people are weak, as we find in all of the people today. Restrictions become a worry and one cannot be steady on anything. So those who are weak should be subjected to fewer restrictions, not more, because the benefit is derived in another way. For instance, the benefit of abiding by the sunnah and keeping eyes open is available to him who offers salah eyes shut, although he is physically weak. The beginner must rather be encouraged to put in more worship. When he is accustomed, the restrictions may be taught to him. Any concession offered in the initial stages is to encourage him to worship and not to diminish the importance of the etiquettes and conditions. Let those who teach bear it in mind. The case of a village chief. Once Maulana Rahmatullah Kiranwi, Rahmatullah Alayh, was passing through a village. He saw a desolate masjid. He asked the villagers why they did not make use of it. They disclosed to him that the village chief was a Khan Sahib, who was not concerned with deen. He did not offer salat or kept fast. He drank wine and was always intoxicated. Indecent women visited him, and because of him, all the villagers were evil, and because he is the village chief. If he came to the masjid, the whole population would offer salah. The Maulana Rahmatullah Kiranwi, Rahmatullah Alayh, he went to his house, the village chief, after he asked the villagers for the directions. He met the Khan and said, "Brother, you are a Muslim by the grace of Allah. The village mosque is deserted. If you go to the masjid to offer salat, other people would also go, taking the cue from you, and the mosque will be alive with worshippers coming and going. Your record of deeds will have a sizable credit." The way the Maulana spoke had a great effect on the village chief. Subhanallah. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it. And who it is, and from whom it is said. It had a great effect on the village chief. He was ready to offer salat. But, he said, "I cannot perform wudu. I'll offer salat, but I can't perform wudu. I ain't going through that. It is beyond me. Secondly, I cannot give up wine. And thirdly, I cannot do without woman. See, woman, I can't do without woman. Now tell me, how shall I offer salah? And because of that, I will not go to the masjid to pray," the Khan Sahib said. The Maulana was taken aback. He said, "Tell me, are you willing to offer salat?" The Khan said, "Yes, I am prepared to offer salat, but I cannot perform wudu." The Maulana said, right, offer your salat without performing wuzu and let your other pursuits go on too. Now people who don't have ilm and knowledge and hikmah say, kya, what did Maulana say? Not haram. What kind of shibban is he saying? He said, let him, he says, right, offer your salat without performing wuzu. Go ahead. And let your other pursuits go on too. The Khan asked in surprise if he should offer salat without performing wuzu. And the Maulana assured him that he may, but he would have to go to the masjid. One is no problem, but go to the masjid. The Khan was happy that it was made easy for him. And the Maulana extracted a promise from him that he would go to the masjid for the salat. The Maulana then went straight to the masjid and offered 2 rakats of Nafil salat, after which he went into sijda before Allah and wept bitterly, crying before Allah, subhanAllah, and made dua to Allah. Ya Allah, I had only this much in my powers. The rest is for you to do. When it was time, the Khan, true to his promise, decided to go to the masjid. But as he was about to go, he said to himself, though the Maulawi has permitted me to go without wudu, I'm going to offer salat. You know what? I am going to offer salat after such a long time. So I should at least make wuzu the first time. Because it's a long time. How are we going to look? I'm going to make wuzu at least the first time. Then he said, rather I will have a bath. So he had a bath, wore clean and pure garments, applied perfume, and went to the masjid. And when he offered the salat, he was a changed man. He began to detest wine and women, and thenceforth was a regular worshipper who offered salat 5 times a day after performing wudu. No big set of restrictions that make things difficult for a person, especially the weak. That reminds me of a story of Colonel Saab, who said he met a person once and the person was a drunken, invited him to come in the masjid. He said, he's drinking. Colonel Saab said, no problem, you could drink. Walk with your bottle of rum too. But keep it outside the masjid. Keep it outside the masjid. Why was he exempted from wudu? A zahid, an ascetic, may ask, why did the Maulana permit him to offer salat without making wudu, though it could sometimes render one a kafir? Because the Rasul said, la salata liman la wudu alahu. There is no salat for him who has no wudu. So you deliberately making salat without wudu, it could put you in a state of kufr. But the Maulana also came to the masjid straight away from there and beseeched Allah to lead the Khan beyond the point he had brought him. Lead him beyond that. The truth is that sometimes lifting restrictions from a beginner is useful to bring him to the right path. But not everyone can do it. Only those slaves of Allah whose words and deeds are effective and whom Allah has given understanding have a right to speak such words. It's not for everybody to do that. Hafiz Shirazi, Rahmatul Alayhi, had recited this verse of poetry. People raise objection that how can the prayerog be dyed with wine? But it is concerned in such a situation as Maulana Rahmatullah Kiranwi, Rahmatul Alayhi, faced. In short, it is not necessary to place restrictions on a beginner on the part of Islam. Similarly, if anyone wishes to show humbleness and humility in his salat and fights diverse thought, he may shut his eyes when offering salat to achieve this aim. Insha'Allah, he will soon offer salat with eyes open and be able to maintain concentration once he learns that with eyes shut. However, he must always believe that what has come down from the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a sunnah and is more excellent. Always believe that. May Allah help us to understand the deen and to act on the sunnah. Ameen. What is also important, and this is going to be our last class for this Ramadan, but with this pattern advice, which is so important for all of us, abiding by the regular devotional practice. Consistency, istiqamat, abiding by that. Make more dhikr than regular practice. Maulana Tanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, if anyone is inclined to make more dhikr than he is accustomed to, he should make it. But he should not bind himself to the extra. Don't bind yourself to the extra. If after a few days he hopes to be accustomed to that extra, he may make that binding on him. So if a person is doing the 12 tasbih, all right, let's say he's doing 5 tasbih, 2 la ilaha illallah, and 3 Allahu Allah. He's doing that. 5, 2 by 3. He's doing that every day. And then he wants to do some more. He wants to do illallah in it out, illallah. He can do it, but don't make it binding on him until he feels that he could take on that extra. Because what is the best deed? This is what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is quoted in a hadith to have said. It is on this basis that all worshippers are exhorted to bind themselves to a minimum of regular practice which they can abide by without difficulty. They may limit themselves to just one tasbih from the 12 tasbih. They should not be irregular so that one day they repeat 50 tasbih, but the next day they do nothing. There is more reward in regularity, though it may be a very little every day, more reward in that. It is also more excellent and more beneficial. According to a hadith, someone asked our mother, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, as well as Sayyida Ummu Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, what deed was nearest to the Prophet? What deed was nearest to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam? They said, that which is done with regularity, though it is a little. In other riwayats, ma dawama alayhi sahibuhu afdalul amali adwamuha wa inqalla. That which is done with regularity, though it is little, it's the best, and that deed was most beloved and dearest to the Nabi. This is because it is more beneficial, and the Rasul loved this, dearest to him. An example showing that regularity is beneficial. Suppose a drop of water pours down a tap with incessant regularity, drip, 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 drop by drop, drop by drop, with incessant regularity. There may be the hardest of rocks under it. The drop will one day make a hole through the rock if it continues to fall with regularity. On the other hand, if you open the faucet fully, water will flow out of it with force. And when you close the tap, the water would not have made any mark on the rock whatsoever. The drop of water, because it was regular, pierced a hole in the rock, but the full force of the water, which was momentary, left no trace on the rock. In the same way, a sudden burst of worship, a zeal, josh, followed by a neglect, will not be of any benefit. If the voluntary deeds, those that are observed regularly, in the voluntary deeds, those that are observed regularly are more useful and beneficial, even if they are few. Bind yourself to a small practice, but be regular. The religious elders suggest, therefore, that one should undertake to observe a small amount of voluntary nafil deeds, but be regular at it. If he's not able to do more than more, if he's not able to do more, then let him recite just one tasbih every day, or one part of the Quran, one juz of the Quran every day, or lesser than that, even one fourth of that. In fact, he may even recite just one ruku every day, one ruku every day. But he must be regular at what he sets apart for himself. There is no point in doing anything by fits and starts. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Qalilun tadumu alayhi arja min kathirin mamlul. Qalilun tadumu alayhi arja min kathirin mamlul. The little that you do with regularity gives more hope of being approved by Allah than what you do by fits and starts, doing it one day, skipping the next day, and so on. Do not bind yourself to the extra. In the beginning, it does happen that someone finds chair in zikr and is inclined to do more of it. Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that while that was commendable and one may do more, but one should not add that extra to his daily routine, which he has been maintaining easily, till he finds that he can add that extra bit regularly. In that case, he may add that to his daily routine. Repeat the dhikr. When a disciple, a murid, who has been abiding by the practice prescribed to him by his sheikh, finds that he can make more dhikr, he approaches his sheikh to prescribe more. The sheikh does not give him anything new to do, but instructs him to repeat the dhikr he has been making. For instance, if he had been reciting La ilaha illallah 100 times, then he should recite it 200 times. So that if he has acted on impulse and cannot squeeze in a new dhikr, which he shall come to neglect. Some people want to do everything at one time, particularly in the nights of Ramadan. They use all their effort up in one night, following which they go to a long sleep and even miss the fard salat. A saying of Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah. In one of his sayings, Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah said, when you perform a worship, whether it is salat or zikr, recital of Quran, Maulana Gangohi says, whatever ibadat you are doing, stop doing it a little before you are likely to tire, as a big secret. Whatever ibadat, stop doing it a little before you are likely to tire. When you still have a desire to do more, stop it at that time. It is just like having a meal, which we are advised to stop eating when we still have an appetite for it. Do not eat so much that you cannot even breathe. The voluntary worship too must cease when there still is a desire to do more. That's the time to stop and to cease. Do not go to the extreme. The whirly gig, it's a toy. I think that would refer to what we call a yo-yo here. Whirly gig. Isn't it, Shiraz? How you learn that word, whirly gig? First time in my life I hear a word like that. Maulana Yaqub Nanotwi Rahmatullah Alayhi gave the example of a whirly gig with which children played in olden days. A thread is wound round a wheel and it is thrown afar and pulled back. If all the thread is unwound, then the whirly gig will not return, nor will the thread rewind around it. It will return only if it still has some thread around it. As it is pulled back, it returns and the thread rewinds on it. Stop worship while the inclination is still there. They still have some thread. Don't let all the thread go out. Keep back some thread. Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, if you unwind all the thread while worshipping and your enthusiasm has cooled down, then you will not return to worship again. But if you stop worship while you still have some enthusiasm for it, you will return to it. It's like the yo-yo, it will come back up again. It is better that you still have an inclination. My respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi Mufti Shafi, said about this saying that it is nice for a man to be occupied in worldly pursuit, but his heart is inclined to worship. He is better than one who is engaged in worship, but his heart is inclined to worldly affairs. Let there be a little longing. Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayhi, recited these verses frequently, and I remember them often whenever I made a last supplication while returning from Haram at Mecca and Medina. What he used to say, Dr. Sab used to say, what I had to say to him, I have said, yet I have a longing to say more. What I had, and that's the last dua, what I had to say to him, I have said, yet I have a longing to say more. This is what Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi said. Let there be a little longing in your heart. Do not finish all you have to say so that the longing will bring, he says, do not finish all you have to say. Keep back some. So that the longing will bring you back to more worship. The need of a sheikh. However, the supervision of a sheikh is essential for that. He decides what is good for his disciple and murid and when he should stop to worship. By himself, a man might commit a mistake. There are many examples of people who show tremendous enthusiasm for some days, which subsides all of a sudden. They are not even seen in congregational prayers for Salat and Jamaat after that. Not even seen. A sheikh makes his disciple, a murid, do that with moderation. Bring about changes quietly. As we come to an end, focus on this. Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said, therefore, bring about changes in yourself in such a way that no finger is pointed out at you. If fingers are raised, then that raises doubts that you may return to your former condition. If fingers are raised, then that raises doubts that you may return to your former condition. Let the changes come as they come in a child who matures gradually. If you use a ruler to measure the child every day, then you will not observe any difference in him. But he will grow. He will grow into a young man gradually. And it would not be known at what speed he grew each day. So bring about changes quietly. For if fingers are raised, then the man is likely to become proud. If fingers are raised, the man is likely to become proud. So set a target which you can meet. So when you determine a practice for yourself, make it such as you can fulfill. Let that be your target, what you can fulfill, what you can do easily. Let it be small. Do not be very enthusiastic, lest you fix a target you cannot achieve. That is why a sheikh is needed to guide you. He knows what his disciples can do and what benefits them. This is why we say that a man of Allah will guide, otherwise no one can reform by himself. So establish a relationship with a sheikh and follow his guidance. May Allah guide us to it. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. For 1 month, we have been hearing these very important spiritual discourses. You and me, we are all going to be tested on these discourses. And that's where we have now to apply our knowledge to it. We'll be tested from all that we have learned. May Allah give you and me the tawfiq to practice upon what we have learned. And we say in the end, Allahumma ati anfusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khairu man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa maulaha. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wassalamun alal mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
care. This is who I am. This is me. Nothing, everything. Can't you see?